Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in tomorrow is daf ches. Again, the learning that we do this morning should be refu shlemer, fal zaka, Avram, ben yakir Abigail. And we start with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah now takes us back to the world of tomorrow. So again, this is Masechta tomorrow. We're still in the first parak, finishing up the first parak. Still have a while to go. But the Mishnah starts off a kohen and mirim b'shalahem. So if kohen has a karba, meaning not one that he was given, not one that while he was working the base of mikdash, he happens to have been granted. But no, his own karba. Meaning kohen under any circumstances can bring his own under certain circumstances can bring his own karba. So he can affect him more with his own karba. V'yisrael mirim b'shalahem, and Yisrael can be mamir with his karba as well. In other words, okay, the first line of the Mishnah is really a setup. It's for what's coming next. Ein ha-kohanim emirin lo b'chatus v'lo b'ashim v'lo b'b'chor. It's the next line of the Mishnah, which is what we are going to be focusing on. In other words, kohen can't do temura with a chatus or an ashim or a b'chor. Now, chatus and ashim over here, what the Mishnah means is chatus and ashim that they were given to by Yisrael, meaning given by Yisrael. Meaning Yisrael comes with a carbon chatus to the Beit HaMikdash, offers a carbon chatus. Who eats the meat of the carbon chatas? The answer is Kohen. Kohen eats the meat of the carbon chatas. Part of the kapar process, right? Remember the conversation between Moshe and Aaron. You know, there was a chatas that wasn't eaten, and Moshe said to Aaron, "You know, that's part of your job. Part of your job is to eat the carbon chatas that provides kapara." So the Kohen over here was given meat of the carbon chatas. He can't affect tomorrow with it, not with a chatas, not with an asham, and not even with a bechor, says the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yochanan Nuri, mimnei ma'in mamirin bebechor. So Rav Yochanan Nuri says, what? Why? Why not? Meaning bechor, that's a different story. Bechor is their animal. Mimnei ma'in mamirin bechor. So amalo Rabbi Kiva chatas v'asha matan l'kohen bechor matan l'kohen. So Rabbi Kiva says, well, think of this as an equation. Meaning by a chatas and asham, that's a gift to the kohen. It's not his. He doesn't have bailus, he doesn't have ownership over it, it's a gift to him. So, ma chatas v'ashem in mamirin bo, af b'chorin mamirin bo. So, just like chatas and asham, they can't affect tamura with it because it's not theirs. So, same thing with a b'chor. B'chor is not really theirs. It's a gift to them, but it's not really theirs. Amar Rav Yochanan Nuri, malo imeno meimer b'chatas v'ashem she'in zachen behem b'chayehem. So, Rav Yochanan Nuri says back to Rabbi Akiva, but it's so different. You're comparing chatzas and asham to bechor. Chatzas and asham, at what point are they getting the chatzas and the asham? The animal's already shechted. Blood's already been sprinkled on the mizbeach. Animal's already been cut up. Imurim, the insides of the animal, went on the mizbeach. So they're getting meat. Meaning, remember, tamura is exchanging one animal for another animal. At this point in time, it's not an animal, it's dinner. It's pieces of meat. So, she'ein zachem mehem b'chayim, tamar b'bechor, she'zachem bo b'chayav. But vis-a-vis a bechor, he gets it while the animal's still alive. So Rav Yochanan Nuri is basically saying to Rabbi Kiva, you don't see the difference? Right? Chatzas and asham, I understand. Mishulchan, the Mishnah doesn't use this language, but Mishulchan gavoa kazachu. It's not theirs. I understand it's not theirs. They're entitled to eat it. They have rights to eat it, but it's not theirs. That I get. But bechor, they're getting it. They're getting the animal. They're getting the animal while still alive. So Rav Yochanan Nuri says, I really see a difference between a bechor versus a chatas and asham. Amalo Rabbi Kiva, v'lok for nemar v'ayah u'us morso yeh kodesh, heichan kedusha chalala bebeis ha-balam, aftamur bebeis ha-balam. So Rabbi Kiva finally gets the last word in the mission. Rabbi Kiva says, well, let's take a look at the pasuk. V'ayah u'us morso yeh kodesh. It and its exchange will be kodesh. Heichan chalala bebeis ha-balam. When is it going to be affected? When is there going to be a tamura that's only in the house of the owner? But after more bebeis habalim, so too the tamur is only bebeis habalim. So in other words, Rabbi Kiva says that the only time that this can transpire is only when you are bebeis habalim, only in the house of the owner. The Kohen's not the original owner of the animal. Who's the original owner of the animal? The Yisrael. Yes, it's true. The Yisrael then has to give it to the Kohen. That's true, but the Yisrael is the original owner, so therefore only the Yisrael can affect tamura. But the Kohen, when he receives it, cannot affect Tamura. Okay? So we have in our Mishnah a basic machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Okay? So let's...
At the beginning, it says that the Kohen can make it. Yeah. Is it allowed Tamura or not allowed?
No, never allowed. Tamura is never allowed. The discussion is never...
They
It means can, meaning that it works. It's effective. But it never is an option. It's a prohibition to do so. All right, so let's make sure that we understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah basically is saying like this. Temura is really a function of your ownership. You can affect Temura. Now, again, just to, right, I'm going to say it like that as well. Just understand, you never really should do it. You shouldn't do it. It's in the Torah. But we're just talking now about your ability to affect Temura. It is a function of ownership. If you're the owner of the animal, so then you can affect Temura. If you're not the owner of the animal, you cannot affect Temura. Now, even when I say it like that, in that equation, so let's understand that when you make a karban, really it's not even yours anymore. Meaning, as a karban, who does it belong to now? It belongs to the Mizbech. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not really yours, but it's still shaykh to you. Meaning, right, in ownership terminology, it may not be yours. That's a legal term. But in terms of, meaning it's your karban, it's shaykh to you. So we're going to, for the purposes of tomorrow, we're going to call it your karban. So, okay, just, I don't know if that confused or helped. But anyway, but your ability to affect tomorrow has to be, it's your karban. So the first line of the Mishnah that says, HaKohanim Emirim B'Shalahem V'Yisrael Emirim Shalahem, it just simply means that when you own the karban, when it's your karban, so then you can affect Temura. If it's not yours, you can't affect Temura. Good. That's our starting point. Then basically what the Mishnah then discusses and debates between Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva is, how do we view the Bechor? Meaning by in other words, if a Kohen's working in the Beis HaMikdash and he's given a Chatas and an Asham, there's no debate. That's not his. In other words, first of all, the carbon belongs to somebody else. Secondly, he's eating it only because that's part of the Kapara. So that's not his. So he for sure can't affect Temura with a Chatas and an Asham, meaning a Kohen. That we know for sure. But what about a Bechor? When a Kohen receives a Bechor, is that animal his? And basically what it sounds like in the Mishnah is that that's a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position is basically, yeah, it's his. It's once you give the Bechor to the Kohen, it's his animal. And if he wants, he can affect Temura. Again, if he wants, he shouldn't. But in other words, it's look at it more like a litmus test, meaning how his is the animal, it's so his that it can affect Temura. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, no, it's not his, meaning he has rights to it, he's entitled to it, but it's not really his. Okay.
So is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri saying that when the Bechor is with the Israel, that even the Israel can't affect
him? Okay, good. So good. That's coming up later today, right? That's on the Amud Beis. Perfect. Okay, so good. So Tanan Hasam. So really, here's going to be. Can I lay out the Gemara today? Today's daf is daf Ches. We're holding by daf Ches. Not yet, but in just a short couple of minutes. Okay, let me lay it out. Basically, that will be our topic of discussion today. When the Kohen receives the Bechor, how his is it? Right? How it's you have the right to give it to whichever Bechor you want. You select a Bechor. Thank you. You can give it to whichever Kohen you want. You select your Kohen, you give it to him. Good. Now there was a transfer of a Bechor. Your firstborn animal with Kedusha is now given to the Kohen. Perfect. Now the Kohen has it. It's his. And the question now is, for the rest of today, how his is it? We're going to learn a Mishnah together from Maestro Shani. And really, for the course of today, from after we learn the Mishnah, we'll be basically answering this particular question. So let's learn a Mishnah together in Maestro Shani. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah says, right, the first parak. So, Bechor Mochrin Oso, Tam Chai, Ubalmom Chai Veshachot, Umaktishim Bo Haisha. Okay, so the Mishnah says like this. You have a Bechor. Meaning, when I say you now, I'm talking about the Kohen who received it. We're not talking about the original owner. It is in no way, shape, and form his, because we know that the moment it's born into his flock, he has a requirement to give it to a Kohen. This Mishnah, Maestro Shane is talking about after you've given it to the Kohen. It's addressing the Kohen. Bechor, so now, Kohen, when you get your Bechor, Mochrin Oso Tam Chai, so you could sell it. Now remember, you cannot redeem a Bechor. Right, Bechor is one of those karbanos that are non-redeemable. Even after it gets a blemish, you can't redeem it. But you can sell it. And the Mishnah says, Mochrin Oso Tam Chai, as long as it's alive, and as long as it's not blemished, you have the right to sell it.
The Kohen.
Ubalmom chai v'shachet. Now, if it's a blemished animal, now you could sell it however you want. You could sell it alive, you could sell it dead, meaning at that point in time, there's no limitations on sale. Umakdishim bawa isha. And you can be mekadesh a woman with the bechor. This is always, meaning you ask the litmus test of how yours is it? This is the litmus test of choice. Meaning, if we want to establish how yours is something, so ask the following question. Can I be mekadesh a woman with it? Meaning we know that to affect kedushin, with a man between a man and a woman, he has to give her something of value. He has to give something of value that he owns, right? So in order to determine ownership, we basically ask the question, well, can you be mekadesh a woman with it? Because if you can, so that means it's absolutely yours. Right? For example, a guy steals something. Can he be mekadesh with that object that he stole? Absolutely not. It's not his, right? He has certain obligations and responsibilities over the item that he stole, but it's not his. The bechor that was given to the Kohen is his. How his is it? You can even be mekadesh a woman with it. Absolutely, it's still the Kohen's. Meaning a Bechor is earmarked to the Kohen. It's one of the Matnas Kahuna. So when you have a Bechor born into your lot, so you have to give it to the Kohen. Right? Give it to him while it's a Tom, give it to him while it's a Baal Mom. Either way, you have an obligation to give it to him. He has monetary rights over that. Maaser Behema is different. Maaser Behema you keep, Maaser Behema you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, but today's topic is just Bechor. So Amar of Nachma Amar Rava Bar Avua. So good, so that's the Mishnah and Maaser Sheni. And it's pretty clear, meaning the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says it's his. And the Mishnah Maaser Sheni couldn't say it any clearer. In other words, how his is it? He could be Mekadesh a woman with it. So good. So as to the question that we just asked, does it belong to the Kohen? We know it's Shaykh to the Kohen. Does it belong to the Kohen? The Mishnah Maaser Sheni says, sure it does. But wait one second. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Bar Avua, Lo Shanu Ela Bizman Hazeh, skip the parentheses of Abba's Mancha Beis Mitzvah Shkayim, came into Tam Lakrabahu Dekai, Ein Mochanoso Tamim Chai. Okay, so Rav Nachman is going to put a serious qualification on this Mishnah from Maaser Sheni. And the qualification is the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says the Kohen has a right to sell it. Yes, that's without a Beis Mikdash. Without a Beis Mikdash, he has the ability to sell it. But once there's a Beis Mikdash, or once upon a time when there was a Beis Mikdash, and God willing, where there will be a Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen no longer has the right to sell it as long as it's not a blemished animal. Okay?
So
now,
it has to be a carbon,
do we understand Rav Nachman? Yeah. In other words, think it through. I'll spell it out. I'll speak it out. But it really makes perfect sense. Because what Rav Nachman essentially is saying is like this. You are a Kohen. You were just handed a Bechor. Okay. What is that animal? It's a carbon. Meaning, let's assume it doesn't have a blemish on it, right? Let's assume it's a tamim. It's a carbon. So the Kohen right now is, yes, he owns the animal, but more than owns the animal, he's a custodian of the animal. In other words, he's entrusted with the animal. Now, Kohen, here's what you are going to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. Go to the Beis HaMikdash, offer it on the Mizbeach. Yes, it's true. Once you offer it on the Mizbeach, you're going to be entitled to eat the meat. But in other words, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen does not have carte blanche over that animal. He has rights over that animal. He has responsibility over the animal. But Rav Nachman is saying, don't call him an owner of the animal. He's not an owner. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, and now the Kohen is given the Bechor. Now, as an unblemished animal, what can he do with the animal? Nothing. Wait. Until the animal gets a blemish. Because without a Beis HaMikdash, a Bechor, an unblemished Bechor, there's nothing to do with it. But even though there's nothing to do with it, but it's his. Now, it happens to be that there are limitations because he can't do anything with it until it develops a blemish. But so what? But the point is that right now it's his. So what Rav Nachman says is that Mishnah Maaser Sheni, which says that the Kohen has the right to sell it, even when it's not blemished, is only talking Bizman Hazeh. But if Bizman Beis HaMikdash, he has absolutely no right to sell it. Okay? So it's a serious qualification of that Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, provided by Rav Nachman. And for the rest of today, except for the tail end of the daf, for the rest of today, we will now be testing this thesis, this chiddush of Rav Nachman. Okay. So I'm sorry. Rabbi Gaveya, Vabez Mesh Bezbekai, Ein Mochen Osot. Okay, Tamim Chai. Eisvei. Okay, Eisvei Rav Elul Rav Nachman. So we start off now, number one. Number one question against Rav Nachman, asked by Rav Mochen Osot, Tamim Chai. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to look back again at the Mishnah. The Mishnah from Maaser Sheni. Now the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says, Mochen Osot, Tamim Chai, that you could sell, the Kohen could sell it while it is alive. So Chai in Shachalom. So that's only when it is alive, but not when it's dead. Not when it's shechted. Now, Amos. Now, shechted, you shechted a bechor that's not blemished. You can't do that nowadays. So, mi ika tam shachut. Meaning, you need a beis hamikdash for that. You need a mizbeach for that. You can't do that nowadays. Ela pshita bezman shebeis hamikdash kayam. So, obviously, in other words, once you read the Mishnah carefully, you realize the Mishnah must be talking about during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And now that we historically placed the Mishnah in a time where there was a Beis HaMikdash, now just all you need to do is just read the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? You could sell it. A Kohen could sell the Bechor even while it's alive, even while it's not blemished, even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So, okay, that will be difficult for Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman will tell you, I disagree. I disagree with your reading of the Mishnah. Meaning, Mikitani Mochen Osot Tamim Chai in Shachalo. Meaning, you went to that Mishnah and you immediately went to the inference of that Mishnah. Rav Nachman says, don't go to the inference. Meaning, all you need to do is just simply read the simplicity of the Mishnah. Sometimes, although usually we do this, meaning our job is to read a Mishnah and to delve into the Mishnah and explore the Mishnah and make inferences from the Mishnah. That's usually our job. Meaning that's usually what the Gemara does. But Rav Nachman says over here, no, just read the simplicity of the Mishnah. Ha-gufa asalash mi'inan. The Mishnah is making its very basic point of his mind, is that mochen osot tamim chai. Meaning the Kohen is allowed to sell it. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah, bizman hazeh. Meaning, think about it. Meaning, from Rav Nachman's standpoint, when there was a Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen was given the Bechor, he can't sell it. Right. Because even though it's his, even though it's shaykh to him, but it's still, he has now the obligation to bring it to the Mizbech and offer on the Mizbech. And so what the Mishnah Maaser Sheni is telling us is, once there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, things have changed. Now the Kohen is allowed to sell the Bechor, because without a Beis HaMikdash, and so now there is no Mizbech requirement, there's no offering requirement, so now it's his. That's all the Mishnah is saying. Don't read anything more into the Mishnah. That in of itself is a novelty. Eisvei. Here we go again. We're going to challenge Rav Nachman. Bechor nemar lo sifte v'nimkar hu. By a Bechor, it says you're not allowed to redeem it, but you are allowed to sell it. So says the Mishnah. Mishnah is talking when? Elim b'zman hazeh masefa. Now, you'd like to say that the Mishnah is talking about nowadays, because, again, Rav Nachman, you're only giving permission to the Kohen to sell the Bechor b'zman hazeh, so you'd like to say that, but you have to read on in that Mishnah, because the Mishnah then continues. Ves damam tizrok al mizbeach. So, what do you do with the blood? You sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Rav Nachman, that's not going to work out so good, right? B'zman hazeh, there's no mizbeach. B'zman hazeh, mi ika mizbeach. L'pshita b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayem. Good. So you know it's not talking about b'zman hazeh. So now uvemai ilema babalmom. Now what kind of bechor are we talking about? So we know historically it's talking about during the time of the beis hamikdash. And now we're talking about a blemished animal. Ema seifa v'esdamam tizrok al mizbeach v'eschabam taktir michazel akrava. Well, if we're offering it in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously it's not a Baal Mum. Had it been a Baal Mum, we wouldn't be offering it. And so now that we put those two pieces together, so now read the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, and you could sell it. The Kohen's allowed to sell it. So the Gemara says, midi'iriya reshiva Baal Mum sefa betam. So the Gemara says, it's a little choppy, but the Gemara says we're going to bisect that Mishnah, and we're going to just simply break it up into two parts. First part, second part. First part is talking about where the Mishnah says that you could sell, that's talking about Baal Mum. Second part that says that it's offered on the Mizbech, that's talking about a Tam. Okay, a little bit choppy, but that's how we're going to read the Mishnah, according to Rav Nachman. Mesiv Rav Misharsha. Okay, perhaps this will be my favorite exploration today. This case over here, in terms of challenging Rav Nachman. Kohenish is Shinit Arva Vlad Abavlad Shivchasa. Oh, unbelievable mix up in the hospital. Okay, the Kohen had both a wife and a Shivcha. Now, he's not the father. Okay, we don't have to say that. In other words, she is the Shivcha, she's the slave of the Kohen. Okay? And we don't have to make it more dramatic than it's already going to be. And what happens is that in a hospital, meaning back then hospital, but they both delivered on the same day, right, in the same house, and then the babies got mixed up. Okay. And so now the baby's fate and future are tied together, meaning because one of those babies now is the actual son of the Kohen, and one of those babies is the son of the Shivcha of the Kohen, and they got confused and they got mixed up. And unfortunately, now every birthday, which they celebrate together, so they have identity crisis. Every single birthday, I don't know whether I'm the son of a Kohen or the son of the Shivcha of a Kohen. Now, Higdilu Hata'arovis, so the mix-up grow up together, Mishachrin Zeh Edzeh. So number one, when they're old enough, when they become adults, so they have to write a Get Shichur one to another. One of them is the owner of the other, right? So, yeah, it's...
If there's no other siblings.
Right, if there's other siblings, it'll be more complicated. But, you know, I like to keep it simple, so let's try to keep it simple. So when they get older, so they're going to have to write a Get Shichur to one another because one of them owns one, but we don't know which one owns what. So to make sure that they are both freed Jews, full-fledged Jews, so they're going to write a Get Shichur to one another. Now think it through, because what's that going to accomplish? It won't turn one of them into a Kohen, right? Nobody can make that kind of upgrade, meaning that's not feasible. But what you can do, however, is by writing a Get Shichur, the one who was a Eved now becomes a full-fledged Jew. So at least both of them now will be able to marry. You see, prior to the Get Shichur, you go over to a girl and you say, let's get married. So the girl says, legitimately, well, who are you? Meaning, are you a Kohen or are you an Eved?
They would both be treated like Kohanim.
Well, no. But at least they both will have that ability then to marry a Jew. Meaning, once one of them is freed by both of them giving a Get Shichur to one another, but once the one who was a slave now becomes free, at least now he's a full-fledged Jew, he has the ability to marry. Yes, it's going to create a new set of problems because he's not a Kohen, he's a Ger, meaning he's a convert, he's a Yisrael, right?
Cannot a Ger or a free Eved cannot marry Israel?
No, can. That's exactly the point. He can. The new set of problems that will come up is that from this point forward, they don't know. I don't know whether I'm a Kohen or whether I'm a Yisrael, meaning I'm one of those two. But at least the Get Shichur will bring both of them up to the status of being a Jew. Wait. Mishachron Zed Zed. Shneim. Yeah. Right. We're both kind of okay. Ushnehem Ochlim B'Truma. Now, both of them can eat Truma. Now, think this through. Meaning they both can eat Truma. How? It's very simple. Because right, an Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. Now, this is true even after the Get Shichur?
Why was it written after that line?
So the answer is clearly no. I mean, and Rashi says that. Ushneim ochlim b'truma, kol zman shelo shichru ze'edzeh, the Eved Kohen nami achal b'truma. Meaning, before there was a Get Shichur that was given, so then they're both entitled to eat Truma for two different reasons. One, because he's actually a Kohen, and the other one, because he's the Eved of a Kohen. Now, Michael, your point is a very good point. Meaning, you might have wanted to have reversed the order of those two halachas. Okay. It's a fair point. V'cholken chelek echad al hagoren. Now, when they go to the granary, and they say to the farmer, hi, Good morning. We're here. But we, of course, don't really mean we. We, of course, mean I. I'm here. But we just don't know who the I is, meaning we don't know which one of those two is a Kohen and which one of them is an Eved. So the farmer says to them, great, I'm glad you guys are here. I give you one portion of Truma. Now, I don't know exactly how that works, meaning how much they're actually allocated, but whatever the allocation system is, you only get one plate, not two plates. Because even though there are two of you, there's only one Kohen. Now, an Eved only gets as a recipient, meaning, right, he's king and caspo, right? He's a possession of the Kohen, but he has no entitlement to go to the farmer and take the truma himself. Fine. So even then, two of them are going to the farmer says to them, of the two of you, I know one definitely is a Kohen, so I'll give you one portion. Okay.
Again, only before he's freed.
And again, all this would only work before he's freed. Right. Bechoran yiru achi stavu.
What does he care how many portions he has to give the truma, right?
Right, but one Kohen comes...
There's no two portions, there's only one portion, it's 2%. He's going to give the 2%.
Yeah, but in other words, even after he allocates 2%, he still has the power to determine which Kohen is going to get. And so when the Kohen comes to him, he says, here, he could give him everything,
right.
I think so. But in other words, but he doesn't have to give him everything. And when the Kohen comes, he says, look, I'm only going to give you one plate, and not two. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So yes, a person that can choose to give the truma to multiple Kohens?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's not going to help. We don't know. We simply don't know. Now, Bechoran Yiru Achi Stavu. Now, they have a firstborn. They have a firstborn. So what do they do with the firstborn? So Yiru Ad Shiistavu. So they have to let it graze and until it develops a blemish, V'yochlu B'mumon, and only eat it after it has developed a blemish. Okay. Period. Okay. Right. Really, it's just a fascinating discussion of what happens to the two of them, how the fate of the two of them are going to be from here on end. It's Michael, such a good point, meaning that Shar Shichrur halacha really should have come at the end. But, okay. It would seem that would be. I'm sure there's a reason why that came first. But my askinan. Ilema bezmanazeh maishna didan maishna didu. Didanami mumen be'ina. So again, the reason why we brought this in is really we want to attack Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman says that the Kohen's ownership of a bechor is only bezmanazeh, but in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he does not have bailus ownership over a bechor. Good. So again, let's take a look at this scenario over here. The two get mixed up in the at the time of birth. So we don't know which one of them is a Kohen and which one of them is a Eved, right? Son of a Shifcha and Eved. So we don't know which one's which. And one of the halachas that comes up over here is, what if they get a Bechor? They have to wait till they get a blemish. Now the Gemara says, let's think about this. Now, Maishna Didu, Maishna Didan. Meaning, if we're talking about nowadays, Bizmanazeh, we have the same exact halacha. We also need to wait. There is nothing specific to their particular case that's going to force them to wait that's different than any one of us. Meaning, if any one of us has a Bechor, or any Kohen, I should say, has a Bechor, they need to wait. You can't eat a Bechor until it develops a blemish without a Beis HaMikdash. Be'elalav bizmancha Beis HaMikdash kayim. So obviously it must be talking about when there is a Beis HaMikdash. And Iyamad Bishlama Islul Kohen Zechiyah Begave Shapir. Now, if the Kohen has not only rights but ownership of it, so then I totally understand. Ela Iyamad Leisle. But if they don't have ownership, Leisi Gizbar Velishkale. Meaning, so if they don't have ownership, so the Gizbar is going to come over and say to them, that Bechor, you don't know which one of you is a Kohen. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and wait? Wait nothing. Meaning that deserves to be, that is, we're going to bring it that to the Mizbeach. And that's going to be offered on the Mizbeach. So this only speaks to us well if we're of the opinion that number one, it's talking about during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And number two is that they have ownership of the animal. Because if they don't have ownership of the animal, the Gizbar is coming and taking it from them. Okay, La'olam b'zman hazeh. So the Gemara says, okay, look, you started off with an assumption that that Mishnah or Braisa, however you want to say it, is talking about b'zman beis hamikdash. So the Gemara says, I will offer you a pshat that's talking about nowadays. Why didn't we like that pshat? Because the question that we asked is, wait till it gets a blemish. That's what everybody needs to do. Wait till it gets a blemish. So the Gemara says, Anan yavin lelekon b'mumayu, inun kevan de'ika b'hu mikzas kohen, mafke lelekoanim. No, the Gemara says, no, it's a big difference. Because for the rest of us, for the rest of us, even when it develops a blemish, then what? Then we have to give it to a kohen. But for these two, one's a kohen, one's not a kohen. But for these two, because one of them is a kohen, and if they have a bechor, they'll wait till they get a blemish, and then what? And then they get to enjoy it, because one of them is a kohen. Now again, we don't know which one is a kohen, but when another kohen comes over to them, they say, look, I don't know if I'm a kohen, I don't know if my, you know, my whatever you want to call him, my life mate. I don't know if I'm a kohen, I don't know if he's a kohen, but one of us is a kohen, and we have this animal, and so we'll simply say to you, go, shoo, because it's ours. The carbon, either by my right or by his right, belongs to us. So there's a big difference. Lishna Achrina, now, again, I told you, we're going to see a lot of this. The Gemara is just going to review this last point again with a slightly modified version. Bizman azeh, ma'iria b'choros, da'alin, sfeikos, afilu didan nami yiru. So again, we can't be talking about bizman azeh because we also have to wait. Elapshita bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam. So according to the second version, again, same point we tried to make earlier. It's talking about during the time of the beis hamikdash. V'ibabamum yirat chistavu hamisuabin v'kaimin. The Gemara says it's already blemished. Elapshita b'tamim. So in other words, it's talking about a tam, and it's talking about a tam. So the Gemara's response, I'm sorry, the Girsa here is a little choppy. Vadel olam bizman hazeh, my kashla chafila dinami yiru. So the Gemara's answer is no, it's talking about nowadays. And we ask the question, well, don't all of us have to wait until it gets a blemish? Lo matzino matzchis lele kohen, delo islei kohen safek kahuna, hani sfeikos, these two, which are sfeikos, meaning they don't know what they are, but machil a kohen, kol chad v'chad. Amal lele kohen, da'ana kohen v'ana kohen. Each one of them will turn to a definite Kohen, definitive Kohen, say to him, look, I'm possibly a Kohen or I'm possibly a Kohen, so simply put, get lost. Meaning, the animal stays by us because the animal has a blemish and we get to keep it. Okay.
Is there no time limit on holland to get that to do this? That's within your right.
What's that?
Holland can hold on to the animal within a year that they have to...
You're talking about the original owner or you're talking about the Kohen?
These two that are sharing, but there's a time limit how long they could...
No, because there, in other words, if it's a Kohen, it's talking about Bizman Azeh, they get to hold on to it as long as they want. Meaning,
and they go within a year that they have to bring it as a Bechor.
No, but it's even though it is a Bechor, but they're the Kohen, so therefore, by right, they get to keep it.
One of them is
huh? One of them is and one of them isn't. The two of them are a Safek, but at least the two of them, by right, one of them is a Kohen.
No, the two of them are Vadai. One of them is...
Yeah, I understand. In other words, the combination of the two are the suffix. Okay. Okay, good. All right, so again, defense of Rav Nachman. By the way, by the end of the day, we'll successfully have defended Rav Nachman. But again...
Did this guy serve in Mishmar?
Huh?
Did these two serve in Mishmar together?
No, they can't. Meaning one of them is not a Kohen, for sure. Okay. We're going to do it again, meaning we're going to go to another Mishnah, and once again, we're going to try to prove or disprove Rav Nachman. Again, let's go back to the basic point of today's daf. It really is. It's great daf because it's really just one issue repeating itself again and again. Again, the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says that when a kohen's given a bechor, he has the right to sell it. It's his. In fact, it's so his, says the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, that if he wants to, he can give the bechor to a woman and say, Hare at mekudeshes li, bechor zeh, meaning it's my bechor, I want to be mekadesh with you with, and the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says that works. Good. That's the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Rav Nachman says that's only bizman hazeh. That's only nowadays. But during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, no. He can't sell it. He can't be mekadesh a woman with it. Why? So as I explained at the beginning of this morning's daf, because during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen has, he's not an owner, he's simply a, Right, he's a benefactor. He's a trustee of the animal, but he's not an owner of the animal. He has to, meaning it's shaykh to him, but he has to bring it to the mizbeach and offer it on the mizbeach, and by right he can eat it, but it's not his. That is the halacha according to Rav Nachman. And again, what we're trying to do is mishnah by mishnah throughout Shas or Brises, we're trying to see whether or not he's correct. Mesve. So the Gemara will do this again based on a mishnah in Sanhedrin. Ir Hanidachas. Story of an Ir Hanidachas. The majority of the city is being Oved Avodah Zarah. So the people who are Oved Avodah Zarah are put to death. And as far as the possessions of the city, everybody's possession is collected into the center of the city and burnt in the center of the city. And the Torah goes on to describe that the animals and all their possessions are accumulated and burnt in the middle of the city. Reb Shimon Omer Behemta Pratla Behemas Bechor Umayser Shabbat. So it says behemta, their animals, excluding a bechor and the meiser. Meiser over here meaning meiser behema. Shlala, pratla kesef, meiser sheni, sheba. And shlala is excluding the money of meiser sheni, which also is not owned by any particular individual. Now, good, that's the Mishnah from Sanhedrin. What do you see from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin? The bechor is not owned by any particular individual because it's excluded from the burning. Had it been owned by somebody, throw it in.
But the thing is that if the inhabitants of the town are going to be killed anyway, why don't we have care and it could be owned by anybody anyway?
It had to be owned by somebody. If it's
I
not,
know, but the thing is that, but not the whole. Everybody's condemned to die, right?
Not everybody, just the Oved Avodah Zarah.
But the possessions.
Well, all the possessions are going to be not hefker, destroyed.
Except for these items.
Because they're going to go to the base of Mikdash.
I understand, but
okay. So now, b'mayaskin elam b'bezman azemikir nidachas v'atanan inosinir nidachas al be'base n'shalshim v'echad. So again, first let's establish time period. Are we talking about nowadays? Or are we talking about the time of the base of Mikdash? You got to be talking about the time of the base of Mikdash because we're talking about nir nidachas. Nir nidachas is only going to be judged when you have a Sanhedrin of 71. Sanhedrin of 71 is only when there's a base of Mikdash. The two are linked. We're going to learn later in Seder Kodshim that where was the Sanhedrin of 71? In the base of Mikdash. It was, in other words, that Sanhedrin is connected. It's attached to the base of Mikdash. In fact, we learned back in Sanhedrin that when the base of Mikdash was destroyed, the Sanhedrin was disbanded. In fact, the Sanhedrin was disbanded 40 years prior to the destruction in anticipation of the fact that the base of Mikdash was going to be destroyed. Okay, good. I just threw out a lot. Elapshita bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Good. So it must be talking about when there was a base of Mikdash, clearly. Uve mai. E neima babalmum. Now, we know the bechor is excluded. Which bechor? Are we talking about one that's blemished? Haina behemta. So what do you mean? A bechor that's blemished? There is no quibbling. A bechor that's blemished, it belongs to the Kohen. That's his. That would fall under the category of behemta, his animals. So you can't be talking about that. Elo pshita betam. So it must be talking about a non-blemished animal. V'yamart b'shlami islei zechi begavei shapir. Ela iyamart leislei lameli mebehema tebuk lei mishlala v'lo shlal shamayim. Now here's, and it's a little bit tricky over here. So the Gemara says, now here's the point. It's got to be that a bechor is shaykh to the Kohen, more than just shaykh to the Kohen. He has ownership over the bechor, and that's why the Torah has to give us a special exclusion. Because...
He could have rights, but not ownership.
Well,
He's like dibs on it, but
yeah, I'll call it ownership because... We can argue about the words, but he could sell it. He can be mekadesh a woman with it. It's more than just rights. Meaning, it really is. He's given the same rights as an owner. So, you know, call it what you want. But, you know, and this is a little bit tricky. What the Gemara now is suggesting is it had to have been his. Why? Because look, we are given a special exclusion for that. Meaning, had it not been his, had the Bechor been property of the Beis Hamikdash, I already know that it's not to be burnt with the rest of the possessions of the Ir HaNidachas. The Pasuk says, Shlala, all your possessions, not Shlal Shamayim. Anything that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already excluded. And meanwhile, we're given a special exclusion for the Bechor of the Kohen. We know it's talking about during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that it's talking about a Tam, and it's given a special exclusion. Why is it given a special exclusion? So the argument of the Gemara is because it was owned by the Kohen. Okay, that's the thought process of the Gemara. La'olam ba'amom de kakash la'chayna behemta. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll defend Rav Nachman by telling you that the animal is a ba'amom. It's a blemished animal. To which, remember what the Gemara said just a moment ago? Why didn't we like that? Because if it's a blemished animal, that for sure is owned by the Kohen. The Gemara said, and why would I need the Torah to go out of its way to say, blemished Bechor animals of a Kohen also, I'm sorry, are excluded. Why do I need a special exclusion for that? So, Mishanecha Batars Behemta, Yatza Bechor, Meister She'ena Bechal Behemta. Because even though it is theirs, once it's a blemished animal, it's theirs, but it's not treated like regular meat. It's still, to a certain degree, irregular. What's irregular about it? Didnan. Go back to a mission that we learned together not that long ago. Called Psula Mukdashin in Karim Be'idlaz, Vinishkalam Be'litra, Chutzman Abachorim, and Amaiser, Shanasan Labalim. When you sell meat of animals that are disqualified, right, carbonates that are disqualified, which you are now allowed to eat it, whoever wants to, right, outside the base of Mikdash, Psula HaMukdashin, you can sell it wherever you want. You can even sell in the marketplace, but not a Bechor. A Bechor that is a blemished Bechor cannot be sold in the marketplace. Why not? Because who's profiting from the Bechor? The Kohen. So there, it's a bizayon. It's degrading to have an animal that once upon a time was a Bechor and to be sold in the marketplace. Why are we worried about degrading other carbonates that developed a blemish? Because proceeds are going to the Beis HaMikdash, and yes, it's true, it's a little bit degrading to be sold in the market, but since proceeds are going to the Beis HaMikdash, so we'll waive the degradation so that the Beis HaMikdash can enjoy the extra profits. Meaning it's, you know, it's a balance. Okay, Meisve. Good. All right, so again, defense of Rav Nachman. Gemara is going to challenge again. There's a dispute between two people over money. Specifically, Picardon, I gave you something to watch. I come over to you and I say, hi, I'd like it back. And you look at me and you say to me, I don't know what you're talking about. What object? And I deny having been even given the object. And not only do I deny, but I compound the problem by making a shvuah and saying, I swear I don't have it. And then afterwards, you admit. So one of the cases in the Torah where, in order to be given a kapara, you have to bring a carbon asham. Okay. The dispute has to be over money, over something of value that's owned. So umal mal basham rabbis kachim kalam shein mamun balam div Rav Yosi ha-Galili. Rav Yosi ha-Galili says, you know what is included in this halacha? Even kachim kalam, even shlamim. Meaning, I gave you my shlamim to watch, my carbon shlamim. Right? I'm going on a cruise. I have a carbon shlamim. Do me a favor. Watch this carbon shlamim for me. Okay? And then I come back and I say to you, where's my carbon shlamim? You say to me, what are you talking about? And again, we go through the denial, shvua, admission. So Rav Yosef Glili says, also, that falls under this category of necessity of carbon. Benazai Omer L'Rabu Shlamim. And now Benazai says, it comes to include shlamim. Now, Abba Yosef, and Dusai Omer Lo Omer Benazai Ela B'Bechor Bavad. Now, clarification, because when you read Benazai, isn't that exactly what Rav Yosef Galili said? Clarification. When he says shlamim, you know what he means? He means bechor, meaning a Kohen gave his bechor over to somebody else to watch. Watch my bechor for me. I'll be back. He comes back. Denial, shvua, admission. So only in the case of bechor do we have this requirement now that if you want a kapara for what you did, you have to bring a carbon asham. Now, b'mayiskinan, ilema b'zmanazeh. Now, the Gemara says, now, let's think this through. We're talking about nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash, domi d'shlamim katani. So, but remember, though, when Benazai originally presented to us his position, he said, shlamim. Clearly, he was talking about it from a carbon perspective. Elapshita b'zman Beis HaMikdash kaim. So, again, sounds like when there's a Beis HaMikdash. And, b'mayiskinan, ilema b'bamom. How do we do shlamim ketani? And if we're talking about a blemished animal, but again, the way he presented it to us, it's a shlamim. So elabatam b'shmamenai, it's like Kohen Zechiah begavei. And so now we're talking about, let's put everything together. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the animal's not blemished. And the Kohen now says, let me have my Bechor back. And you say, what Bechor? And you deny and you swear. And meanwhile, what are we saying? That is a dispute over money, over something which was owned by the Kohen. Good. So it sounds like the Bechor is owned by the Kohen, even during the Beis HaMikdash, and even if the animal is not blemished. Okay. Rav Nachman didn't agree with that. Rav Nachman's whole premise is that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen's not the owner of it, he's just entrusted with it, but he's not the owner. So Amar Abaye, we're now on the top of Ches Amud Beis. So in defense of Rav Nachman, Abaye says, "Lo olam betam ubebechor bechutz la aretz." Rabbi Shimon, he. So interesting defense of Rav Nachman. That Mishnah that we just learned, again, Mishnah Brisa, I don't know, but I should know. Brisa. That Brisa that we just learned is talking about. Yes, it's talking about during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no way around that. And yes, it's talking about an animal that's not blemished. You're right about that as well. But the Bechor is outside of Israel. And we're holding like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, remember, not that long ago we learned this. And also it's coming up later in Temura. According to Rabbi Shimon, a Bechor outside of Eretz Yisrael, even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't need to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning you can wait until it gets a blemish. Okay, interesting position. We'll learn more about it later on in Temura. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Meisvei, okay, fine. Meisvei, let's go on. Amla Rav Yochem Menuri Mali Yemeno Meimer Bechatzot Vashem Sharein Zachen Behem Bechayem. Toma Bebechor Shezachen Bechayav. Finally. Why are we having this discussion here in Temura? Meaning it's a Mishnah in Meister Sheni. And it's Rav Nachman's comment on that Mishnah in Meister Sheni. So why bring it up in Temura? Because of our Mishnah that we started the daf with this morning. The Mishnah on the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis that talks about, can a Kohen affect Temura with Bechor? And listen to the words of Rav Yochem ben Nuri. So Amalo Rav Yochem ben Nuri, Mali Yemeinu Meimer Bechatzot Vashem Sharein Zachen Behem Bechayem. Tomer BeBechor Shezachen Bechayav. What was the argument of Rav Yochem ben Nuri? Of course a Kohen can affect Temura with a Bechor. It's his. Yeah, right? So, now it can't be a blemished animal.
But the whole point of that is that he's not
going to
be bringing it as a korban. That's how
he's
saying it. So why would you want to do it?
Even if he's going to bring it as a korban, but it's his. It's his korban. So just hear it out. So, now remember, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Kiva were arguing, they were comparing it to a chatas and an asham. And el ala betam v'katan, and so it must be talking about where it's not a blemished animal, meaning it's carbon worthy. And v'katan is zachen ba b'chayav. And what did the Mishnah say? He's zoche. It's his. So Amar Avina hanami b'bechor b'chos aretz Rabbi Shimon he. Damrin ba'u tamim im yikrevu. So again, so the Gemara says, same defense, to defend Rav Nachman. Yes, it's talking about a bechor. Yes, it's saying it belongs to the Kohen. That's only when the Bechor is outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
It's not a great comparison, but it's at least same time period and same condition of the animal. Not, you know. Lema Kitanai. Perhaps, we're just going to do a little bit more. We're just going to get up to Rav Chista. Lema Kitanai. Bechor bebeis abalamos in temura, bebeis akoin enos in temura. In the while the Bechor is in the house of the original owner, meaning the farmer whose litter, right, whose flock it was born into, he can affect Temura, but not the Kohen. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Kevin Shabali De Kohen Enos in Temura. When it gets to the hands of the Kohen, he can't affect Temura. What? Hainu Tanakama. The Gemara says, isn't Rabbi Shimon Elazar just repeating the Tanakama? My love, Hachi Kamar, Bebeis Kohen, who also Temura, Ve'in Balo, said Temura, that in the Beis Kohen it can affect Temura, Bebeis Kohen, who also said Temura, Ve'in Balo, said Temura. No, once it gets to the Kohen, it can affect Temura. Ama, Isle Kohen, Zechia, Begave. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, HaRev Yochanan ben Nuri, HaRev Akiva. And the Gemara again says, no. That it is this machlokus over here is really the machlokus of the Rav Yochanan ben Nuri versus Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah. Now there's a long Rashi over here. Rashi says, all this is still clinging on to the answer that we said previously, that we're holding like Rabbi Shimon, meaning that it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, and since it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the Kohen is not required to bring it to the Mizbeach. In summary today, okay, we have a little bit more to go, but that's, we basically cover the main points. In summary for today, essentially the question is, when a Kohen receives the Bechor, is it his animal? Can he sell it? Can he be Mekadosh a woman with it? So the Mishnah Meister Shani says, yes. Rav Nachman qualifies that Mishnah. That's only Bizman Hazeh. But during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, no, he can't. He can't sell it. He can't be Mekadosh a woman with it. Why not? Because he's a custodian. He's a trustee. He's not an owner. Only Bizman Hazeh is the Kohen considered an owner. We try to attack Rav Nachman from Mishnayos and Brisos throughout Shas. And the Gemara, to this moment, defends Rav Nachman.